Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Nacho Tuesday. Today I have Vikas with Fable. If you can, we'd love if you can introduce what you guys do over there and tell us more about your background.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me here. Hi, everyone. My name is Vikas. I'm one of the co-founders of Fable. We are an interactive demo platform for GTM teams to increase their conversions and close more deals.
Perfect. So I guess, how did you get to this point in your career? What led you to starting Fable?
I've been in B2B SaaS for a little over 12 years, Andy, and so have been my co-founders. We have worked in a few companies together in the past. We saw a couple of them get acquired as well. And during our journey, what we realized is it's a significant effort. Every single time we would jump on a prospect's call to give a demo, we had to run through different teams within the same org to put that together rather than just showing these dummy demo environments. And you know, once we moved on from our last company together, so we realized that we might not be the only ones having this problem. And we ended up talking to a bunch of companies across the globe and learned that this is a problem that's recurring across. So regardless of the size of the company, the type of the product that they're selling, as long as demos were a critical process in their sales cycle, we saw that everybody were having the same problem. And interestingly, what we also learned was demos were not just about the product. It was also about the stories that come around it. And that's eventually how the name Fable was also born.
Yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of people don't like to be told. They like to be shown how your product works. So it's a lot more impactful that way. So people could actually visualize how they can use that product themselves.
Absolutely. You're bang on target. I think this change has also happened post-COVID, when a lot of in-person meetings are not happening. You know, people meet a lot online and they're a lot more prepared and a lot more educated with a lot of these third-party sites, review sites, and, you know, referral customers coming in. So they already know a lot about your product and what it does. So you don't have to tell them if you're the best tool out there or the number three software out there in the world for the category, but they want to know how it helps them, right? They want to see and experience it before they swipe their card. And that's the problem that Fable is trying to solve today.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, a lot of people depend too much on their marketing and trying to convince people, you know, with the fancy language that they have on their website. But people just want to see if it's actually got the features that they want to use and dive into it themselves. So with that said, I guess, how has software sales evolved over the last 5 years? You specifically mentioned COVID. What kind of trends are you seeing out there? Do you see like a lot more self-assisted sales or?
Absolutely. I think even before that, what's happened is B2B buying altogether has changed, where buyers are a lot more educated. So, you know, gone are the days when you can land somebody on your website and you say that, hey, I'm the best CRM in the world. These are my 100,000 logos that there are. So just trust me and then swipe your card and go, right? They have specific questions on their use case, their pain point, the features that they're looking for, you know, what do you have in your roadmap? So the questions are very, very direct. So, you know, gone are the days when you can have a generic content or a generic video or a generic demo that will help you convert these people. Since the education has improved, the buyers are also comparing you against three or four other players right now in SaaS. So you need to be a lot more prepared as well when you go to demos, right? So I think that's where sales has changed rapidly over the last couple of years. It's good in a way because you can qualify sooner and your sales cycles are also going to be shortened. But at the same time, you need to be prepared enough to face those prospective buyers as well.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that you really need to take the initiative to answer those questions in advance, right? In terms of interactive demos, content, to really show that the product actually solves a problem that they're looking to solve, because there is a sea of other products out there, of course, too, right? So it's hard to just win people over with just your basic marketing message. That's why, you know, people actually want to dive in and see how the product actually works.
Absolutely. And like you said, right, the difference might not be in the product. It can be in the buying process in itself. When everybody else is still trying to sell the old way, one option would be for you to, you know, help them buy the new way, where they can explore it themselves, try it out themselves, and then, you know, choose to swipe their card, or then maybe book a call with your account executive to talk about the payment terms, etc. So yeah, I mean, that's how it works right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of people try to specifically avoid having to talk to somebody if there doesn't need to be a conversation, right? So, you know, why get set up into a 15 or even 30 minute call to go over something that you could just check out yourself and, you know, have somebody try to close a deal on you, I guess, over a meeting. A lot of times people come into the meeting knowing that they're almost across the finish line. You just got to get them there.
Absolutely. Think about it, Andy. So let's just say today I want to purchase a CRM. I go to a website of a software vendor, and I try to know if that particular software is apt for me or not. And then you ask me to fill up a form which has 10 different questions where you qualify me. And then you show me a booking calendar, which lets me book a call with your SDR for the next week. I'm already in the zone of trying to solve my problem. Why are you asking me to wait for a week to even discuss if it is worth my time or not? What do? I close that tab, I open a new tab, go to your competitor, and then start evaluating. You've already lost half of my interest there, right? So why actually enable them to do that? When they're already in the zone, when they want to solve for their pain point, enable them to purchase and go forward, right? I think that's something that all companies need to understand and keep moving pretty quickly.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point, I guess. What do you think most businesses get wrong with their onboarding funnel? What you're getting at is that it's very important to get people into the product, engage with it as soon as possible, so they could actually, they don't have to actually wait to, the time to value is really short. They could actually get to solving that problem right away.
Absolutely. I think the same can also be extended to onboarding as well, right? So gone are the days when you give people a 45-day or a 60-day sequence telling that, hey, we're going to check in with you once every 2 weeks. We're going to jump on a call. We're going to walk you through what you need to do in these particular steps. How do you set up your, XYZ? How do you use your analytics dashboard, et cetera, right? You need to help people serve themselves on their own. Self-serve, I think, is the first thing that you need to take care of your onboarding funnel in 2024 and going forward. So the faster you can activate your customers, the faster you can onboard your customers, the better it is for them as well as you. I think that's the change that's going to come going forward.
That's a good point. So I guess, where do interactive demos come into play during the onboarding process and afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely. So interactive demos, like we spoke about, right? They start before the sale happens, especially for marketing teams to give a sneak peek or a teaser of the product, so to speak, and help them convert into qualified leads. Obviously, the sales teams also, create personalized demos and send them as follow-ups in their follow-up emails. Once they're on board as a customer, you can actually create these interactive demos to help people, like we spoke about, serve themselves. So let's assume I want to know how to do XYZ in this particular CRM. Open that particular interactive demo, click through the 4 or 5 steps, reach the aha moment and say, perfect. It's pretty straightforward. Now I log into my dashboard. Let me do this in a few minutes and then go on. Rather than me waiting for my customer success manager to come to me or me raising a support ticket or me waiting for the next webinar, I can just click through the interactive demo, experience it myself, and then get started. So that's how you can basically use them in the onboarding process.
And what are your thoughts on, freemium models, basically how they're set up? So where you could let people get into your product, they could play around with it and try it. At what point do you think it's the right time to upgrade somebody to premium or encourage them to do so?
Well, I think it's a journey from a freemium model to a premium model, right? So if you push the freemium model right out of the bat, it might be a little difficult for early users of your product to know what to do because it's a black box. Mm-hmm. So think about it. I log in with my user ID and password, and there's nothing in the account. There's no data. There's no workflow. There's no guide. There's no demo. I'm absolutely clueless in terms of what I'm supposed to do, right? So I think the better flow would be give them an interactive demo, tell them what to do. If you feel that the aha moment for them is actually creating a free trial and doing 2 or 3 steps inside your product, take them to the freemium product. The moment they hit that particular aha moment, ensure there is some sort of a trigger that goes out, then convert them to a premium customer and then onboard them. So I think that's the journey. Ensure that you're handholding your prospective customer along the process, but at the same time, you do that pretty quickly so you don't lose them to your competitor.
Yep. Yeah, and that's important that he brought up the aha moment. I think that's critical for any product, especially because like we mentioned earlier, there's so many options out there. So the faster you can get people in and have them realize some value from your product where they say that aha, I think that's the key going forward, right? Like, how do you show value as quickly as possible without asking for a lot of information, without asking for, a lot of investment from that person right up front?
Absolutely. That's exactly what you need to differentiate yourself against, right? So gone are the days when you just say that, hey, I'm better than competitor B because I have these features. You also need to differentiate in the buying process. You need to differentiate in the onboarding process. You need to differentiate how you educate them, because all of these are a part of experience which might eventually end up being the differentiator for somebody to choose you over a different competitor in the market. So yeah, I think these are extremely important steps to take care of.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think experience is becoming more important than ever. It always was, but I think that's, you know, more or less winning the day for a lot of companies right now. Who has that better customer experience, both from the moment you touch the product to that ongoing engagement that you have with it?
Absolutely. I think the one key word that I like about what you mentioned is touch. So when you talk about a physical product, you have an option to touch it, feel it before you purchase. We're trying to do the same thing, you know, with software. How do you get a feel of software before buying it, right? So that's, I think, the new trend that's in town. How do you make them feel, experience the software before they choose or not to become your customer? So I think that's where the game is going to change.
That's a great point, actually, because, software is becoming, there's so many software programs out there. It's becoming more niche. You got to be really good at what you do. Kind of like fashion, right? There's so many different clothing brands out there and everything, but what makes you choose, right? I mean, you have your marketing and all that, but when you go into the store, you want to try something on before you buy it, right? You want to make sure that the clothes fit. So, even in the consumer level, there's a lot you could learn from that consumer marketing experience that you could apply to, even B2B sales for that matter.
Absolutely. Bang on point, Andy. So, and at the end of the day, like you said, right, it's about trying to make sure you cater to a certain segment of people really, really well and solve their problem 100x better than everybody else. So you just can't be a generic tool where I say, hey, my t-shirts are better for everybody. Yeah. My t-shirts fit for all of them, for all sizes, all age groups, all people with all choices. That's not going to happen, right? So the same way we talk about physical products, I think people will have to understand and experience a product and tell that, this is the software that solves my pain point, and my pain point 100x better than everybody else. And how do you do that? You tell them, you give them a feel of how you tackle that particular problem before they become your customer. So, hopefully we all pick up a lot of learnings from the consumer industry and apply it here.
Yep. Yeah, definitely a good point. Yeah, you can't be all things to all people, especially today more so than ever. So I guess with AI kind of becoming a, big trend, of course, it's easier than ever to launch new software products. So we're seeing an explosion of AI tools among other types of software. I guess, what do you think, what kind of tips would you offer for an entrepreneur that's, building or launching a company today to help them, really get product market fit and actually stand out in the crowd, and be able to compete with and build an actual successful business model, when there's so many other apps coming out at the same time?
Absolutely. I think, with whatever we have seen, at least in the software industry, regardless of whichever problem you're trying to attack and solve for, there will be 10 or 20 other people trying to solve for the same problem. So don't be worried about that. One thing that we have learned in our experience is understand the problem better than anybody else out there. That is half the job done. Be as close to your users as possible. It's okay even if you're only solving for 20 or 30 customers for now. But if you see that all of them follow a pattern, similar ICP, similar geography, similar language, similar business model, similar pain point that you're trying to solve, that is the jackpot that you've hit. So ensure that you work with that initial cohort of people, talk to them very closely, very deeply understand the problem. That, I think, is going to help you get your PMF faster than anybody else. Don't worry about me reaching out 1,000 people, me sending hundreds of LinkedIn messages. I think solve for these people and ultimately that will take you to your PMF. And from there on, it's, double clicking on what's working, be it case studies or being your, GTM engines or be it your referrals. So whatever is working, you then double click on that after.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. So you really hit on a point, I think, kind of how you started your company, right? You realized that you're really close to the problem and you understood what the problem was. And so you built a solution around it. A lot of times you'll see, product builders or entrepreneurs, build a feature or build a business and go and look, go looking for a market for it, which is actually kind of reverse. Really, you should start with the customer problem, then figure out the tool sets and features you need to build to, properly address that problem and solve it.
Absolutely. I mean, no shame in admitting that most of our initial features came from the conversations that we have had. Because these are all people who were facing similar problems like us. So it was more of a conversation where he said, hey, what are the different ways to solve this? What else is happening here? What's the workflow? Which tools should we integrate with, right? What else is going to change if we solve for this particular problem? So it's more about solving for that problem. And ultimately, that's how we onboarded our beta customers, onboarded our first paid customers. And those are the ones that have referred us to a few more later on. So, I think small steps is what takes you ahead instead of doing the other side saying that, hey, I love this problem. looks like there are only two companies in this new category. It looks very fancy. I might have a higher ACV. I build the product and then I don't know how to sort of go to the customers in the market, right? So that's the hard part. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it works for everybody. It does work for us, and hopefully, you know, we continue to grow.
Definitely. Now, what kind of an onboarding faux pas have you seen in the past? Obviously, without naming names for any companies or anything, but what are some, you know, absolute deal breakers that you've seen from a UX experience with products that might be on the market today?
Yeah, I think, you know, recently we started using, you know, a pretty famous newsletter platform. And I was surprised to see the onboarding experience, you know, of that particular product. So we got bombarded with about 6 or 7 emails in 72 hours of us signing up and becoming that paid customers.
Wow.
And every question that we wanted were all stuck in those 7 emails. So it was me trying to go through, okay, what's happening in mail one, what's happening in mail two, and trying to put them together, right? So there was no simple way for me to go in, experience myself, take it at my own pace, and then, you know, get to creating my first newsletter, whatever, right? And I don't think it's just happening with one or two of these companies. Mm-hmm. A lot of us still rely on conventional ways of, you know, activating our customers, so to speak, which I think needs to change given how fast your new buyers are and how quickly they want to use your product. So I think that's a change that all of us will have to adapt to very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think so too, right? It's easy to kind of bombard people with everything that you do up front, talking about all of your features, but maybe a better approach is to maybe, you know, be really good at one thing, be, you know, simply the best at X and get people in the door for that. Very easy to understand. And then as people engage with your product more and start to use it, you could start introducing other features, maybe at other different points of the journey, the customer journey. With your product, you could start to introduce them to more things over time and have a better success upgrading them because of that.
Absolutely. I think now everybody is using, you know, product analytics tools as well, where, you know, every single inch of what each of your users are doing with your product. So, you know, which feature they're using, you know, where they're getting stuck, you know, where they're spending time on, you know, which device they're logging in from. So there's a wealth of data that you already have. Might as well use that to ensure that you activate these customers and then obviously talk about upsells and cross-sell rather than just having these plain templates that just go out as bombardments to your customers every now and then.
Yeah, so you could look for like a specific trigger, right? Like if somebody's checked out a certain page or engaged with a certain feature, that could prompt you to know when, you know, especially if you're integrated with HubSpot and you have your data synced there, you could send them an email talking more about that feature or the benefits of it potentially. And that becomes an opportunity.
Absolutely. I think that's the way to go, right? I mean, I'm surprised that some of them still won't do it. But I think, you know, not working on triggers is deathbed for a lot of SaaS companies. So that's something that everybody will have to do, you know, sooner than later as a part of their onboarding process, even if they like it or not.
Definitely. I guess, what tips would you recommend for software marketers to generate more demand for their product? You know, my belief is that if you start with a great product, a marketable product, it's a lot more easy to market. But what other tips would you have for marketers out there that want to get more people to know about their product?
Absolutely. I think like you said, right? So, I mean, show off the confidence that you and your team have in your product, because you're all putting together a lot of effort on the messaging, a lot of effort on, you know, the user experience, the design and building the product. But don't shy away in showing the product to your people. It can be in any format, be it in the form of an interactive demo or a video or a free trial, but let people experience it so they gain more trust, and that allows you to take your conversations further. So don't just, you know, give them a lot of jargon saying, hey, these are my logos, these are my case studies, et cetera. But instead, give them a sneak peek or help them try their own hands at it and see how it works for them, because that is how people also gain trust in you. The more you show confidence in your own product, the more customers also show it in yourself. So I think that's the way to go.
That's a good point. So you don't recommend the stealth mode then, where you don't want to show anybody anything that you do. That prevents people from building trust and actually understanding your product.
Absolutely. I think there is no way you can hide anyway these days. I mean, it's not going to take me too much of a time to just, you know, open a new tab, search for a comparison of your software versus others, or a review, or check a YouTube review, or somebody was talking about, you know, your product on a Slack channel, et cetera. Right? It's very, very easy to know about your product, your reviews, or good things or bad things anyway. So when people are already finding that information online, why do you make it difficult for people when they land on your website? You have to do 10x better than that, right? Yeah. You can't be worse than that, right? You need to be 10x better. So when I already know what your product has, even before coming to your website, now show me what more I need to know. Instead of telling me, hey, you know what? It's hidden. I don't want my competitors to see. My pricing is hidden. I don't want anybody to see. Talk to me, etc. Yeah. Make it easy for them, and that will, you know, help you reap the rewards at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's like when I go to a nice restaurant and they don't list the prices online or something. I'm like, oh God, I know what I'm getting into here. A little one of my
It's something like that, right? It's a nice comparison you make, but it's something like that, right? So the moment I know this is the price or this is the product or this is what it does or it doesn't do, it helps me, you know, choose quickly and make my decision faster, which is obviously going to be easy for both you and me on both sides of the table.
Yeah, and it's better to just explain the model up front, how things work, because if you leave anything unsaid, it just creates that doubt and that fear in the potential customer's mind, right? So it's better, you know, even if you have some like negative downside to your business model at all, it's better just to address that up front and just explain how things work rather than try to hide it and, you know, sneak it in later in a sales call to people.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's all a part of building trust. So as a part of the trust building process, whatever steps that you can take, it's only going to help you. So just be honest about what's possible, what's not. Like I think you mentioned a few minutes, you know, in this discussion itself, you can't satisfy everybody. You will have to take care of a certain niche. It's okay. It's okay to tell no. It's okay that you don't have something that somebody else has. But I think that's the way to, you know, be in front and talk about what's possible and what's not.
That's a great point. I guess, do you have any other strategic sales tips that you would recommend to SaaS product owners?
I mean, I don't have any strategic tips, but in terms of what best practices that we've seen, you know, especially if you were to talk about sales teams, et cetera, sales teams already put in a lot of hard effort to make sure that they pull their prospects to a demo call, already work on multi-threading, you know, create deal room, share all the information available. So they're putting in so many things, you know, and making sure that they close that particular deal. I think one small thing that we've seen a lot of people miss is how they can do contextual follow-ups after the demos are done, right? So instead of just randomly following up saying, hey, Andy, what's happening? Ensure that you have the cues as to what's happening with that particular team, be it using deal rooms, be it using interactive demos, be it using any of your product analytics software that you're able to track based on triggers. Make sure that you know every single thing about these prospects, so they also know that you're more educated enough and you're more than happy to help them. And we have seen, at least in our experience, in our own customers' experience, that it has helped them close more deals and also reduce their sales cycles. So yeah, I think that's basically what I'd like to tell other sales folks.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know account-based marketing's really, you know, grown in popularity over the years as well too, right? So, you know, being able to leverage as much data and personalization as possible for that entire sales process, both from when they hear about your product, not receiving a generic email from you, to actually coaching them through the entire onboarding process and actually really speaking to what their needs are.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, all of us have already started working on that, and there might be a lot more improvements that can come in the coming quarters. So yeah, I mean, let's see how that goes.
Definitely. Any other tips for increasing conversions for customers that might already be in your existing funnel?
Yep. I think buy Fable. Yep. Create an attractive demo. Create an attractive demo. And jokes apart, right? So I think one of the easiest things that you can do to convert more leads from your existing funnel is actually implement interactive demos, because you're already pulling people on your website. That means you've done the good job. You've either run a good ad, or you've written great blogs, or you're sending kick-ass emails, or you have some referrals that are kicking in, or your outbound campaigns are running well. So when you're already getting them on your website, don't make them scroll through pages and pages of textual information or screenshots or GIFs of your product. Put in an interactive demo, take them to the aha moment, then show a lead form, capture the emails, etc., and then pass qualified deals to your sales team, right? So same funnel, but more conversions, right? So pretty small changes, which helps you convert more from your existing funnel.
Yeah. So the important takeaway is to show, don't tell, and yep, get people to that aha moment as quickly as possible so they could experience what your product can do for them. And when you have their attention like that, there's more that they're going to want to do with your brand. I guess, is there any books that you would recommend for people to learn more about, you know, maybe product UX or onboarding and how to get more conversions for their business?
Well, nothing on that front, but I think in terms of business overall, and not just on the onboarding and product side of things, but overall as business, something that has helped me and my co-founders is this book called The Hard Thing About Hard Things. I'm sure that a lot of people would have heard about this book a few times. There are a few small nuggets of information that are there in that book that help you take a step back and say, hey, you know what, I have decided to ship this new feature in my product, but is it actually solving a problem, or am I making it much more complicated for my user? So, you know, it makes you question a lot of simple things, not just in product or onboarding, but, you know, about your entire business at large. So, I mean, for anybody who's looking to, you know, grow their business, I would highly recommend them to read this book.
Yeah, the hard thing about hard things is actually, ironically, it's, you know, simplicity is key to everything.
Yep. And at times we forget about it, right? And at times we overcomplicate things, even not knowing that we have done that. So it always takes, you know, it always makes it good if you take a step back, go back and understand why are you actually doing that before you can, you know, go ahead and implement it. So yeah, it helps.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think a lot of times it's very easy to overcomplicate things, especially when you're shipping new features and not, you know, think cohesively for how everything kind of runs together, you know. Once again, which goes back to keep it simple, stupid. And what is the core problem you're trying to solve? And how do all those additional features and components and everything you're adding on top actually add more underlying value to the simple problem that you're really trying to solve at the beginning?
Absolutely. I think it's easier said than done, right? So I think we've also learned that it comes with practice. The more and more times you start to question about some of these decisions, it's only going to help all of us in the long run. So yeah.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, one of my favorite books is Hooked by Near EO. Love that book. It really goes through like a nice, really easy to use process, I guess, for building products to kind of, you know, initially engage a customer and get them hooked, as the book is called, on your product. So that's another one I'd recommend as well. I guess anything else that potential customers should know about Fable and why they should pick your platform over others?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that, you know, from a lot of our existing customers that we are one of the easiest to use interactive demo platforms. But like I said, I want to eat my own dog food. Please come in, experience the product yourself, try out our interactive demo, and then see it for yourself. But then the whole idea is, you know, if you're looking to increase conversions from your existing funnel or looking to reduce your sales cycle and close more deals, I think Fable might be best fit for you. You know, and if you're a SaaS product, so yeah, do come in, check out our product, try it out for yourself, and then, yep, I'd be happy to talk to you folks on the other side.
Definitely. I'm certainly a big fan of interactive demos, and I definitely echo that. I think it's, you know, so important to show your product and let them play around with it with great tools like what you guys offer. So I guess what's next for Fable? Without getting too far ahead of yourself and spilling the beans on any secrets, what other cool updates do you guys have coming down the line?
Well, I think like everybody else, we're also trying to ride the AI bandwagon, but not just doing it for the sake of doing it. We know for a fact that interactive demos have already been accepted globally. A lot of companies are accepting that these are what's needed to help them grow in the next few quarters. But now that we are riding along that wave and, you know, reaping the results of whatever hard work everybody else has done, we also want to see what is something that we can do to maybe take it this step level. So we're looking at using AI to create demos, right? I mean, how can we sort of leverage the power of AI for somebody to personalize the demo for their prospect? Can we do that depending on the use case, depending on the industry, depending on the kind of product? So I think a lot of research is going behind the scenes in that. And so, that's something we really look forward to, something that Fable can build over the next few months. And in the years to come, obviously, we know for a fact that this is an industry that's going to just skyrocket. And as soon as somebody talks about an interactive demo, we'd love for Fable to be one of those names that they remember. So when they say an interactive demo, if somebody says Fable along with it, I think we would be a happy bunch.
That's great. Yeah, because I think it's easier than ever to launch new software, like we mentioned before. So it's really going to come down to the customer experience. It's going to come down to how well you can show the product and demonstrate it so people can get to the answer they're looking for as quickly as possible. So certainly interactive demos, you know, I certainly believe are going to become more important over time. If you don't have them in your product, you're really missing out. I would definitely recommend everybody check out Fable. We do have it in our B2B SaaS marketplace today. We're a proud partner. Fable and what you guys have over there. Nacho Nacho always has the best brands and best prices, of course. So, of course, we're going to have your product there. Where else can people learn about your product?
Well, I mean, obviously, they can learn about all the other third-party review sites or marketplaces out there. But I'd say the best place, obviously, would be to come on Fable, talk to us, and then, but don't forget to go back to Nacho Nacho and purchase it from there to get the coupons.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Vikas. We look forward to working with you and growing our brands together. Really love the product you guys have built, and I see a bright future for you guys.
Thank you so much for having me, Andy. Looking forward to a lot more conversations in the coming months.
Likewise. All right. Well,